This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Six, and then both teams exchanging field goals in the fourth to make it 17-9. Bears just couldn't get anything going rhythmically. Only three possessions in the second half. One of them after a fumble by Jordan Love. Justin Fields on the day, 11 for 16, 168 yards, 5 sacks on the day for 31 yards, with a QB rating of 97.9. Didn't fumble the ball either, which is important for Justin Fields. No turnovers on the run on the ground. Khalil Herbert, 12 rushes, 28 yards. Roshan Johnson followed that up, 5 rushes for 20 yards for him. Justin Fields, only 8. On the day, 8 rushes attempts for 27 yards. And the receiving end, obviously, Justin Fields only completing 11 passes, so not everybody was eating as much. DJ Moore, 6 targets on the day, 4 catches, 64 yards. Cole Kmet, 4 targets, 3 catches for 41 yards for him, with a nice 27-yard bomb earlier in the game there. EQ saw some action getting a catch today, as did Tyler Scott, the rookie getting a catch for 12 yards early in the first half. Couldn't find anything else going in the second, though. Khalil Herbert, 2 catches out of the backfield for 13 yards. Velus Jones looked good with some pretty solid punt returns, I would say. And then on the defensive end, DeMarcus Walker recording the only sack for the Chicago Bears. 3 pass deflections by that secondary. Eddie Jackson with 1. Tyreek Stevenson with a critical one that saved the touchdown. And then Terrell Smith, who stepped in for Jalen Johnson today, had himself a pass deflection as well. On the other side, the Green Bay Packers, just kind of consistent. Jordan Love, 27 for 32. Very efficient day. 84% completion percentage, 316 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions on the day. So in his last 8 games, Jordan Love, 18 touchdowns, 1 interception. In his last 18 games, took 1 sack, as I mentioned, from DeMarcus Walker. I had a QBR rating of 128, had a fumble on one scramble. Aaron Jones was the key component, though. 22 rushes, 111 yards on the day. And then, you know, a lot of people are just talking about the weapons of the Green Bay Packers. And, you know, this is where it gets tricky, right? Because some people would say, oh, well, you know, Jordan Love's really good at moving the ball. And others would say, well, the Packers invested in their wide receivers and used some late-round picks on some young talent, and it's paying off. Jaden Reed, 4 catches, 112 yards. Bo Melton, 5 catches for 62 yards and 7 targets. Dontavian Wicks, who had 2 big touchdowns for the Packers, 6 catches, 61 yards. And then Romeo Doubs, let's not forget. I mean, you're talking about Romeo Doubs. You're talking about Christian Watson, 2 guys that were supposed to be big members of this offense, and they didn't even, you know, contribute, right? So what can they look like in the future? On the defensive side of the ball, 5 sacks is mentioned. Kenny Clark with 1. Quay Walker with 1. Deontay White had 1 as well. Lucas Van Ness, Carl Brooks, all recording sacks as well for the Green Bay Packers, who punched their ticket to the NFL playoffs. They'll be taking on the Dallas Cowboys next week. I know it's a game that most of us most certainly will be watching. All right, Coach Eberflus, after the game, talked to the media and had a lot to say about not only the quarterback play of Justin Fields, but the Chicago Bears as a whole.
All right. Good evening. So to just summarize what I told the players in the locker room, of course, there's 2 sides of this. You know, there's obviously the disappointment and the loss that we just had. And, of course, you know, that's disappointing. And we should have done some things at the end to be able to have a chance to win that when we're down by 8. And, you know, it was, you know, 4th down. We get to jump off sides at that particular moment, you know, and then we get the holding penalty, which put us behind the sticks, and then we end up getting the sack. And then we punt and pin there, which Gil did a really nice job with that a couple times today. And then we, you know, the defense got him to a couple 3rd downs where we needed those stops. You know, and that's where you got to win the game in the fourth quarter, or at least get a chance to tie it there. up at that moment. But then the other side of it is, you know, it's the end of our season, you know, so it's the end of our season. And I credited the players for the development they had, you know, of this football team, you know, and not only that, but of themselves. And I really credit those guys of hanging in there after the 0-4 start and the leadership that those guys had to be able to do that, to finish the season off 5-3. And, you know, it's really a testament to all those guys in the room, the coaches, the support staff, and everybody in there to be able to accomplish that. And, you know, to more than double our wins from the first year, obviously that's a – and I credit the guys that are first and second year players and also the guys that were here before. And the chemistry of the group is really good. And that's what it's about. And that's going to carry us on to the future. And that's a heck of a foundation for us to go into the future. And we're certainly excited about that. But again, there's two sides of the coin. Obviously, the disappointment for this, but also the appreciation for the brotherhood that we formed in that locker room this year. So with that, open up questions.
It's okay.
Yeah, so like I said before, you know, we haven't had those meetings yet. And again, I welcome those meetings. We're going to have those here. What we're doing tomorrow, and tomorrow is strictly just, and that's what I really know right now, is tomorrow we're going to do the exit interviews with the players. And we did it last year. And Ryan and I sit in my office, and it's 10 minutes apiece. And we go from 7 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon. And, you know, we get feedback on every aspect of the program, all the systems that we have in place relative to the performance staff, to the weight staff, to the trainers, to the cafeteria, the food, the schedule. And that's been invaluable to us. You know, the travel, how we travel on the road, and everything there. So that is pretty exhaustive. But we get great feedback from the players, and that's how we're going to improve the Chicago Bears as we go forward, by getting the feedback from the players, because those are the ones that matter. You know, the players are our product, and we got to do a great job of doing everything we can to help them perform their very best.
Now, when you were talking about the future, it's not actually us. Expectation that you will be part of that.
That word, right? Expectation is a future word, right? So to me, you know, I got to be right here, right now. Like I said, I have those meetings tomorrow, right? And then I'll have meetings after that later in the week. I don't know exactly when that is yet, with ownership, you know, and everybody else, and we'll figure it out from there.
Do you feel good about those meetings? Do you feel confident?
Well, I do know this, Jason, that the foundation has been set. You know, the standards are set, how we operate. I do know that. And I do know the locker room. I do know that for sure. And, you know, we are standing on solid ground of hard work, of passion for the game and enthusiasm for the game. And we're just going to keep working together to build this thing.
Yeah, you can score a touchdown
tonight. Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's really about, you know, converting, you know, on those critical downs. You know, that's what it's about. You know, when you get to midfield, you know, you have third downs and fourth down tries in that part of the field. You got to convert. You have to convert on those, and that gets you into the scoring zone. And when you're in the scoring zone, you either can hit from the fringe, which we've done before with some really nice plays to DJ during the course of the year, I think, back on. But then you got to be good in the critical downs down there. You know, and that's where we fell short today. If you look at the third downs on both sides of the ball, you know, they were able to sustain drives because of those conversions, and they stopped us because of our inability to convert. And it's always going to come down to that. That's why people spend all that time on those 13 or 14 plays or 10 plays that you get during the course of the game. We devote like almost a whole day to those, and everybody does. And it's so important.
Determine if those offensive issues are play calling issues, coaching issues, or execution issues. How do you know? How can you determine what is the bigger issue?
Yeah, when you look at those, you know, they're always going to be, you know, one of those things, right? You know, we put our players in position as coaches. You know, when it doesn't work, you know, you as a play call, you have to look at that. Did I put our best players in position in coverage? You know, in that particular play, in the kicking game, did I put them in the right spot? To be able to make the play. And then you look at the execution side of it. You know, was it executed well based on the play design, based on the coverage, based on a multitude of things? So I think you have to look at all of it, all encompassing. It's not just one or the other.
Right, on their third quarter touchdown, there was the injury timeout as well, and then there was about 5 plays where Walker and Sweat went on the field. Is that a substitution issue?
I don't think so. I'm going to go back and look at it. I don't recall that being any substitution issue there.
Matt, you guys added DJ Moore to the roster this year. Did you get the kind of gains you were expecting and you're passing off that in some reports of the season?
You're talking about DJ?
Yeah, absolutely.
DJ had an outstanding year, you know, and he's just...
We all know that, but did the passing offense make the gains you would expect getting...
Yeah. Obviously, you know, when you look at the numbers, I would say that it didn't, you know, because we're at the bottom 10th of the league or bottom third of that league. I think 27, I think it was last time. But, you know, so obviously that needs to improve, and the passing offense, you know, runs through our skilled players, right, which is Cole. You know, Cole had a lot, really good season, and so did DJ. You know, so we're certainly excited about that. And we got some good shots down the field from Justin. You know, he made some good connections with DJ and Cole this year, and again, we just got to continue to improve that.
Justin's head bounced off the turf, and then he went to three plays left, and then returned.
Yes, sir.
After one play. Did you fear a concussion? Did you play in the process?
Yeah, it was way across the field, so I couldn't see if it was a hit, you know, to the head or not, and I think the replay showed it wasn't. Again, that's the process that the NFL has, you know, for that. And it's a good process because, you know, you want to get guys that are injured, that are wobbly or whatever, off the field to get them checked. And that's what they did. And they took them to the tent. And in the tent is an independent doctor, which is everybody has that. And then there's our trainer and our doctor. And the independent doctor clears them. And he cleared them pretty quick. You know, it was like one play. And he sent them back in. But the process is there, you know, for that reason.
Matt, I'm talking about a pretty strong reaction to it.
I reacted to it for sure because, you know, our guys taking some hits during the course of the year, and I want to make sure that, you know, we're protecting, you know, our quarterback. And to me, like, again, I'm like 50 yards away. It's 53 and some change right across the field, so I'm probably 50 yards away, so I'm looking through a bunch of people. But again, I just saw, you know, what happened afterward. I couldn't see exactly where the placement was, but again, I'm always going to be battling for our guys. Yeah, beating our division is always important. You know, we had a couple of good quality wins this year in the division, and that's always going to be the number one goal. And again, it's always one game at a time, one process, one group versus another group, and you got to keep it that way. But again, we know how important this game is against Green Bay, and again, we got to put our best foot forward going forward.
What do you describe the schedule coming up?
Yeah.
Is this a scenario where you don't have clarity on your job security before the middle
of the year? Yeah, I mean, like I said, you know, I'll have those conversations with ownership, here coming forward, you know, so it'll be midweek in there somewhere, I'm sure, when we set the schedule. And again, our focus is tomorrow, you know, is for the exit meetings for the players.
Whether it's Justin coming back or a new quarterback coming in, as you guys need more production from quarterback position.
Yeah, you know, it's again, we're looking at all those evaluations, you know, as we go forward. And it's not just Justin, it's not just the quarterback position. You know, we're looking at production from everything. How can we improve the Chicago Bears, okay, going into 2024, into that season, with the acquisitions that we get? You know, and that's through free agency. You know, we still have good space there, and also through the draft. And that's going to be important. And again, we're not there yet. We're not at that process. We're just going to evaluate this group. We're going to get great feedback from that group. And we're going to implement those changes for the group that comes in next year. And that's what we're going to do. Yeah, Jalen's just a good player. I mean, he can cover guys. And, you know, certainly we had an injury also to the Smitty. You know, that certainly hurt. You know, so you're, you know, dealing with a couple of things there in terms of that. But, you know, Jalen's had a heck of a year. He can really cover. And he's bought into our style, too, in terms of taking the ball away, tackling. And we really like where he is. Yeah, I'm going to go back and look at it, but yeah, you're exactly right. You know, I felt their pass rush, but I didn't feel ours. You know, we just got to do a good job of seeing what that is, you know. And again, we did some pressure some. We did some of those things, but again, I'll go back and look at it. But, you know, my you know, hats off to the defensive guys. They've done a really good job of coming together, played some really good solid football during the course of this last 8 weeks, and we didn't play our best today.
You talk about how you
threw
two more.
I'll go back.
Why was
Jordan Love so successful? Yeah, I would just say that, you know, he had good rhythm, good timing. I thought they caught some contested catches, you know, that we usually break up. You know, we got to do a good job of busting a triangle and finishing plays there. We did bust up a couple of them, you know, the touchdown to catch and the one in the back. And We just got to continue to compete there.
You talked about how your players developed from the beginning of the season to now.
Mm-hmm.
How did you evaluate your own development as a head coach in your second season?
Yeah, you know, this second season was different, right? You know, so the first year I started out as a CEO coach, right, managing the whole group. And I thought that was good because it allowed me to be able to oversee offense, defense, kicking, game management. And then now the second game of the season, I was put into the defensive coordinator role. And I enjoyed that, you know. And I thought it was a good for me. It was good for the team and good for the Bears. But, again, we'll evaluate that going forward. That's where it is. All right.
It's Coach Eberflus talking to the media after the game. Bears lose to the Green Bay Packers 17-9. Gabe Ramirez with you here on 670 The Score, broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios. You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank. It's not a game, Illinois.com. We have an interesting day for you, as we always do on Mondays following Bears games. Last one of the season. Dustin Rhodes is going to be taking over at 5 a.m. with the pregame show, giving you all the updates and everything that's happening around the NFL and the likes. Mully and Hall jump on right after that. And they got three great guests for you. Olin Kreutz doesn't get any better than that. He's hanging out with the fellas at 7 a.m. So in just about 4 hours from right now. DJ Moore had himself a day today leading the Bears. He'll be on with Mully and Haw at 8 a.m. And then Brad Biggs will be on at 9. After that, Bernstein and Holmes come on following them. And they got Anthony Herron. He comes on at 11. Dan Wiederer jumps on at 12 from the Take North podcast. Parkins and Spiegel, they begin at 2. You know the fellas, the usual suspects. 2:40, Kurt Warner's going to jump on. Mark Grody's going to hang out at 4 o'clock. And then Jalen Johnson, you know, he didn't play today, but would you? If you had the season you had and you know this game wasn't going to make a difference on the money that you made, even though it still did, people still said that with Jalen Johnson on the sideline, it probably made him more money because it just showed, you know, what kind of a fall off there is. But Jalen Johnson, he's going to be talking to Parkins and Spiegel at 5 p.m. Make sure you guys set your alarms for that. But we're taking your phone calls right now, 312-644-6767. Thoughts on the game? A lot of people just done with Lou Getsy. I mean, if you were to go on the internet, it's just crazy. And even on our own Instagram account, 670 The Score on IG, you know, we put up a picture of Justin Fields saying that this was going to be his revenge game. And all 214 comments under the picture just, you know, are trashing Justin Fields. But that's, you know, people are on the fence. I wonder what you think after a game like that. Stacey King, you know what he said? It looked like the Bears are trying to sabotage Justin Fields and his career in Chicago. That's what Stacey King said. But what do you say? 312-644-6767. Let's go to Cliff. Cliff, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's happening? I like Crystal. Hey, that's all right. You can go for it. Listen, Eberflus, I've been up and down with him, and he's improved the defense. He's, you know, going from 3 to 7 wins. But I'm sorry, him and Getsy let their little ego get in the way and let their little stubbornness get in the way by not learning what goes wrong. And today, I knew it was going to happen. Not today, but eventually it was going to happen. The coin toss and taking the ball and giving 2 possessions in a row to Green Bay, he does that every time, and it hasn't bit him, but it bit him today. The score was 17-9, 7-6 going into halftime. Green Bay comes out and they score a touchdown. First drive of the second half. Like you said, they only had 3 possessions or 3 or 4 possessions really in the second half. That means Chicago. That right there, if they let him go and get Harbaugh or anyone, I'm fine. Because that's just stupid. You have brought this defense up to a certain point. You've made them better. Why not go out there and just let them have that first half, or the first drive, let the other team have the ball, and let your defense set a tone?
All right, hold on, Cliff, because I want to be very clear on a couple of things. One, you know, they've been getting the ball first when they win the toss. They've been doing it all year long because they feel very comfortable with the scripted plays that they have.
You've been skating by because it was don't do that.
Hold on.
You just don't.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
And then let's not forget, they've been very successful when getting the ball first, putting up touchdowns. And what they're really trying to do is give Justin Fields a cushion, right? Have him feel good about what's going on. And they did that.
Okay.
They got a field goal, 10 play. Okay.
Go ahead, Cliff. You go ahead and talk. I got you.
You go ahead and talk.
I got you. You got 3 points, and you still have, what is the total of the game, 60 minutes? You still have 40-something minutes left, or 50-something minutes left. That's why you give up the ball, because in the second half, if you have the ball first and you score, you have much less time to let the other team either come back or, you know, score. It's just it's science.
Cliff, let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Justin Fields plays better with the lead or coming from behind?
Honestly, to me, it wouldn't matter, because the first half, you still have –
I like the answer, actually.
No, it wouldn't matter. And I'm going to tell you why. Because your second half, you have only 30 minutes, and you have only so many possessions in that second half. So give yourself as many chances to score. I'm not saying the first half doesn't mean anything. No. It's just a simple thing of time and data that's showing that. And you gave them two possessions in a row. And most times, that's why teams do it, is because they will have two possessions in a row. That's one advantage. And the second advantage, the major advantage, again, you have the ball first in the second half. Whether you're down or whether you're up, once you score, okay, that time then plays to your advantage. You cannot continue. I know what you're saying. I mean, I'm sorry. Let me go back for a minute. I know what you're saying about it's been working, but it was going to bite him eventually, and this won't be the first time. That leads me to where today, LaFleur, in the first game, and he's been doing it, well, since last year, he just out-coached Eberflus, and he undresses them badly.
Yeah, that's
LaFleur does that.
I hear you, Cliff, but we have to also give credit where it's due, right? And when you're looking at this Packers team, first half, they only had three possessions, right? But look at this. 12 plays, 52 yards, 6 minutes on the first one that resulted in the missed field goal. Second possession, 11 plays, 92 yards, 7 minutes, touchdown on their second one. Third one, 7 plays, 56 yards, and they couldn't get the playoff quick enough. They couldn't get the playoff quick enough. And then, I mean, so, you know, these are efficient drives. 12 plays, 11 plays, 7 plays. Missed field goal. The Packers didn't punt today. Like, think about that. They only had 17 points, and the Packers did not punt today. Second half was more of the same.
That's like a statistical anomaly. How is that possible?
Right, 17 points, no punting. Second half begins, to Cliff's point, 9 play, 75-yard drive that results in a touchdown. You know, if not for the fumble, all their drives are just, you know, destroying the soul of the Bears. Jordan Love fumbles the ball. Bears get a field goal as a result of it. Then Green Bay comes back and answers. 5 plays, 65 yards, 2-minute drive to get a field goal. Isn't this what we've seen from the Bears, though, this whole season? The inability to perform at a high level on the defensive side of the ball in the last two possessions of the quarters, or the halves, excuse me. And it's exactly what happened. Get the field goal there. Bears get the ball back, punt it, because they can't do anything. And what does Green Bay do? They go on a 12-play, 61-yard drive that lasted damn near 7 minutes that began on their own 6-yard line. So, again, I mean, I say that to say, you got to tip your cap to Jordan Love. 27 for 32. He played a damn near flawless game for the Packers, and it resulted in a game that didn't have much pressure or anxiety for them. They didn't feel that. Let's go back out to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. It's Pat out in Joliet. Pat, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, Gabe? How you doing?
Hanging in there, man. So talk to me about what you took away from this Green Bay win and this Bears loss.
Yeah, So real quick, your last caller was talking about the coin toss and Bears taking the ball first. I think that had everything to do with they knew what the Packers offense was doing and what Jordan Love's been doing, and they wanted to keep him on the sidelines. And they, quite frankly, I think it's a smart move, and they end up putting points on the board, like you said. So, I mean, I don't think it's a bad move. I just don't think it had anything to do with the Bears coming out and saying, hey, we're going to take it to him. I think it just had everything to do with, look, we're going to try and keep Love on the sidelines. They're at home. Let's keep this crowd under control. And that's just kind of my take on that. But in terms of the game, I think it's pretty damning on a lot of aspects. The quarterback front, if you're just talking about the quarterbacks, Love and Fields, I mean, Love was clearly the better quarterback and wasn't even close in this game. And quite frankly, man, it's only a year into his career, but he's already the better pro quarterback. You look at what he's done all year. He had a bumpy ride with the Packers to start, but even week one, his third full game as a pro, and he came out balling. And then he dipped in October, and he had a rough October. He was inconsistent, and I mean, honestly, since the end of October, since the last second half of the season, a little more than that, I mean, I forgot what his stats were. He put up 19 touchdowns and one pick over the last 10 games. I mean, he's been the best quarterback in the NFL, arguably, since then, and that's in his first year. And the Bears are still talking about Justin Fields trying to get it together in year three. And, I mean, and I don't want to hear – I mean, even last year, the excuses were out there, well, you know, they got to get him some offense. They got to get him a player. And, okay, they get him DJ Moore. And they did that. But, I mean, you look what Love did. I mean, Love's got his all-pro left tackle out. His wide receiver one been out for more than half the year. His RB1, Aaron Jones, been in and out of the lineup all year. That Green Bay defense, terrible for most of the year. And what does he do? He just balls out, puts up 4,300 passing yards, 33 passing touchdowns and 11 picks, 38 total touchdowns and 11 picks for the year. And that's with Dontavian Wicks, with Jaden Reed. Granted, these guys are awesome. They are great draft picks. Bo Melton off the practice squad. I mean, so, like, I don't want to hear it. Like, I don't want to hear the excuses. Like, it's just that whole excuse thing, that whole excuse train for the last couple of years. Like, the Packers and Love just could not have just crapped more on that whole thing that the Bears are going through, that the Bears fans are saying. Like, even going back to last year when they're saying, hey, they got to get pieces around Fields. No, like, look what the Packers did. They got pieces, but they're all rookies and second-year players. And Love is just knowing what to do with the ball. Like, today with that zone coverage of the Bears, he diced that up like it was nothing. The Bears, when they dropped back in the coverage in that zone, he knew where to go with the ball on the money. I mean, the Bears weren't stopping him. And, I mean, they're lucky it was 17-9. This game should have been more like 27-9 or 30-9. I mean, they put up 428 total yards. Like you said, Love 317 passing yards, 5 incompletions. I mean, and he should have had 3 touchdowns. That one got overturned in the end zone, whatever. But, I mean, look, like, he showed in year one that he is light years better quarterback than Justin Fields. And that's with all the same excuses that the Bears fans and that, you know, Bears media and all that, and even guys on here on the Score, Mullen Hall and all them, talking about how they got to get pieces around Fields. He had the same thing this year, and look what he did.
Let me ask you this, Pat. Let me ask you this. How far away do you think the Bears are? How many years?
That's a tough question. It's probably a couple years, but it depends on what they're going to do. I mean, I don't know. I don't think Justin Fields is going to be the guy. So if you go back to rookie quarterback, then the Bears are right where they were 3 years ago.
No, they're not. I mean, no, they're don't. They are not right where they were 3 years ago. This is a much better team than it was 3 years ago.
I'm just saying in terms of the whole quarterback here. So you go back to rookie quarterback, you don't know what you're going to get. But, I mean, they got good pieces. I'll give them that. You got DJ Moore. Defense got a lot better. But, again, I think that, you know, the Bears defense is playing good the last 4 or 5 games. And look at the quarterbacks that they played. Okay? So, I mean, like, let's, you know, they still got a lot of work to do. Like, and I think the coach and the offense coordinator have everything to do with that. And that's the last point I want to make. Like, you look at what Love's doing. Look who he's got. He's got LaFleur, a guy that is a great play caller, and then him and Love just gel. That's what the Bears need to do if they want to take that step. Not just to beat the Packers, just to be a good football team and have a good quarterback. You need to find that head coach that's going to gel with your quarterback. And maybe that could be Fields. I don't know. Like they could totally find the right head coach that gels with Fields and gets him to blossom out. I don't know, but I mean that's what you need to find. You need to find the right head coach, offensive play call minded, that can gel with your quarterback, and you're going to be on the same page. Because obviously, that's not Eberflus and Fields, and I mean Eberflus is a defensive coach anyway. So I mean, that's what you got to go do. You got to go find that guy.
Thanks for the call, Pat. I appreciate it, man. You bring up some great points, and I think, you know, really the game really did point out, just like it did in week one, where the Bears are at. Week one, it proved to you that you weren't ready. You weren't there yet. And the three games that followed proved that when you started off 0-4. And then at the end of the season, when you thought you had some traction, some footing, you thought you had a good grasp of who you were as a team. You know how many people I had to hear listen say that the Bears were the Detroit Lions of last year? Oh, just like this, ending hot on a high note. It's great. But, you know, you got to play. All right. But what did Justin Fields have to say after the game? Did he, you know, we heard he said goodbye. What did that goodbye sound like? Did it sound like goodbye forever? Justin Fields in his post-game presser, we'll play for you after the break. But don't forget, you're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday. Presented by Busey Bank and itsnotagameillinois.com. Just so much stuff going on today on 670 The Score. Like, if you're heading home, and you're just leave your radio right there on 670 so that when you wake up, you can hear one of these guests, amazing guests today. I'm going to be hanging out with you guys till 5 o'clock. Got about an hour and a half left. Then Dustin Rhodes takes over with the pregame show. That leads you right into Mully and Hall, and they got three great guests for you. 7 a.m., Olin Krutz jumps on with the fellas. Then DJ Moore jumps on at 8. Brad Biggs talks to the guys at 9. Then Bernstein and Holmes take over. They have two guests for you, Anthony Heron and Dan Weeder at 11 and 12. Then Parkins and Spiegel come on. They got Kurt Warner. Yes, that Kurt Warner at 2:40 p.m. Mark Grody jumps on at 4, my Oak Park brother. And then Jalen Johnson. That's the guy I always listen to every week. If I don't catch it live, because I do set an alarm. I have a weekly alarm at 4:58. If I don't catch it live, I always check it out on the Odyssey app. I want to encourage you guys to do the same. If you're not going to be around, make sure you download that Odyssey app so you can catch every single show's podcast version so you can hear from some of the best guests in the city. All right, what did Justin Fields have to say about his performance and his potential future with the Chicago Bears? He will tell you that next. Don't go anywhere. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
3rd and 4.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back throw to Moore inside the 30. Finally, he's able to get slowed down by Valentine and stopped by Walker, a chase by Walker. And the secondary finally able to get a couple of bodies on him, but not until it picked up 33.
It's Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
It's a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and itsnotagameillinois.com. Gabe Ramirez broadcasted live from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers all the way till 5 a.m. Ton of guests lined up for you guys. As you heard, Bears lose to the Green Bay Packers, 17-9, Justin Fields. You know, if you're going to have decent games where people are going to support you, you got to expect that when you have a bad one, there are going to be some that turn their back on you, or that the chorus of boos will become a bit louder. And that's exactly what happened after this one. Justin Fields, 11 for 16, 148 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions, no fumbles, had 8 rushes for 27 yards. But a lot of people would say, hey, man, it doesn't matter. Like that right there, not his fault. It's a Lou Getsy thing. It's not a Justin Fields thing. Don't look at the fact that Justin Fields was 3 for 11 from third downs. And the Jordan Love was 7 for 10. Don't look at those things. Bears only 13 first downs on the day. Wow. That's crazy, man. I was looking at some of the stats. Bears second in the league in rush. Obviously, you know, tops in the league in rushing defense. On rushing offense, Bears second in the league in rushing yards. Just behind the Baltimore Ravens. Bears, however, if you look at the top 8 teams in the league, Bears being one of them, top 8 rushing teams in the league, Bears are the only one that does not have a rush for over 40 yards. That's wow. The longest run for the Bears was 39 yards, of course. That's great. But the Bears offense got to get better, right? And it's not just in the rushing department. It's the passing department. It's the team as a whole. And the good thing is this. Whether you are on team stick with Justin Fields or on team move on from Justin Fields, both are true. You want to move on from Luke Getsy, and you want to see the Bears, you know, have sustained success for years to come. And, you know, hopefully we all believe in Ryan Poles to be able to do that. All right, let's take some phone calls. Actually, before we do, don't forget, you know, Dustin Rhodes leading you into the pregame show, 5 o'clock. Molly and Hall taking over after that. 7, 8, 9 a.m., top of the hours. They have guests for you. Olin Krutz, DJ Moore, Brad Biggs. 7, 8, 9 is when those gentlemen will be on there. Bernstein and Holmes follow after that. 11 a.m. and 12 p.m., Anthony Herron, Dan Weeder are jumping on with the fellas. Then Parkinson Spiegel. They got 3 great guests for you guys. Kurt Warner jumping on at 2:40. Mark Grody at 4. And then Jalen Johnson at 5 p.m. All right, let's go to the phone calls. You got some thoughts about the game? Maybe you're willing to go pick up Luke Getsy and be his Uber on his last day with the Bears. Let's go to John from Pontiac. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be on.
Yes.
Thanks for taking my call.
So talk to me about what you think the plan for the Bears is. Not just the future for the Bears, but the future for Justin Fields.
Well, you know, Justin Fields, is he a great passer? No. Is he a great runner? Yes. My thing with Justin Fields is you just this year gave him a number one receiver. You addressed the offensive line, which you will probably continue to do in this draft. And you've molded your game plan more around Justin Fields. Okay. Well, the thing is if you have done that already, you're going to continue to do that. Being that you have the number one pick, you can trade down, get more capital, which in turn will help improve your roster. And when you do that, Justin Fields, A, has another year without the option. If you take his option, then you have 2 more years, and I think that with proper drafting, Justin Fields is already a top 15 quarterback. I mean, I don't know if you agree with that or not. But
I think he's 13 to 17, John. That's where I've
exactly.
13 to 17 exactly. is the range. But I don't think he could be a top 10 quarterback in the league.
I tell you, if the Bears get Marvin Harrison Jr., don't you think Justin Fields is going to become a top 10 quarterback?
Let me tell you why. Look at his stats for today, okay? Justin Fields, 11 for 16, 148 yards, okay? DJ Moore, mm-hmm. 6 targets, okay? After the next highest wide receiver with targets, Tyler Scott with 2. You see what I'm saying? So I just, if this is the game next year and Marvin Harrison Jr. has 3 targets and DJ Moore has 6 or they both have 4, I'm going to be pissed.
But here's the other thing is I don't feel, you know, all you had this game was DJ Moore. You know, you didn't have.
But you had Cole Kmet. Cole Kmet had 4 targets, right? Like I'm talking about. The inability to keep drives going. Only 13 first downs. 3 for 11 on third down. Like, if you're 3 for 11 on third down, the drive can't continue in order for you to give Marvin Harrison Jr. more targets. And if you give Marvin Harrison Jr. targets and DJ Moore doesn't get, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I want a top tier wide receiver to pair alongside DJ Moore. That, without question, well, there needs to be help there.
Well, Marvin Harrison is a generational talent. Let's just call that how it is.
Well, wait. But, why? Because I've had this argument on Twitter for the last 48 hours. Why are we allowed to say that Marvin Harrison Jr. is a generational talent? Because some experts have said that. But we are not allowed to say that Caleb Williams is a generational talent when some experts have said that.
I also agree. I feel like Caleb Williams is a generational talent.
Okay.
But I've also seen flaws in Caleb Williams' game when his offense struggles. And offense is 11 players. It's not just one player. But my other point being is you're going to get Marvin Harrison Jr. Then you're also going to invest into the offensive line again, which you figure if you give Justin Fields another half second, maybe even a whole second to make that decision, either he's running up the field for 50 yards or maybe then we actually finally get to see the deep field Justin Fields passing that we've seen and we know he can do.
When was the last time you saw Justin Fields? When was the last time you saw a Bears receiver catch a ball in stride and run into the end zone?
It's been a minute. I'm not going to lie. It's been a minute.
Yeah, you haven't. But, that's my point, though. That's my point. We can talk about all this stuff, but until it's actually happening on a consistent basis, you can't. You bring up Marvin Harrison Jr. and saying like he's some flawless individual. Go look at his game against Notre Dame earlier in the year in September. Ohio wins 17-14. You know what Marvin Harrison Jr. does against a top-ranked team in Notre Dame? 3 catches for 32 yards.
Over 10 yards a catch, okay? And if you can mix that in, I really think that's
a rebuttal?
You're being very pessimistic. Dude, I'm telling you, if you get a generational receiver, look at what happened to the Bengals. When Ja'Marr Chase went to the Bengals,
you had Joe Burrow throwing him the ball. You're comparing.
You had T. Higgins.
You had Joe Burrow throwing him the ball. Like, stop trying to make some. Like, stop trying to pretend. Like, if you get Marvin Harrison Jr., then Justin Fields becomes Joe Burrow.
I'm not pretending that he's going to become Joe Burrow, but I'm saying that if you have an alpha, a beta receiver, a decent offensive line, it's not unheard of.
Okay, let me ask you this, John, because I hear what you're saying, because yeah. I agree with what you're saying. I want to be very clear. If any quarterback gets Marvin Harrison Jr. and DJ Moore, they're going to be better, right? Any quarterback. So I agree.
Exactly.
So I agree with you wholeheartedly there, right? The issue that I have, again, is with Justin Fields.
I understand that you feel that Justin Fields isn't a top echelon quarterback. Okay, but we've also seen in the NFL that you don't have to be a top 5 quarterback to win a Super Bowl. And that's the bottom line. It's not about putting up 5,000 passing yards and 50 touchdowns with 25 rushing touchdowns. It's about winning the trophy. That's all it is.
Yeah, I mean, again, this is just one that we're going to agree to disagree on, John. And I appreciate the call, and I appreciate the sentiment. It's just extremely difficult for me to try to get behind a narrative that is praying to little baby Jesus that this space between where Justin is at in the present and where you want him to be magically gets filled in if Marvin Harrison Jr. is here. It's tough for me to do it. And you talk about, you know, and I hate this argument about, oh, you can do it with a, you know, you don't have to have a top quarterback in the league. Like, what? What? Go look at the 14 teams in the playoffs right now. Go look at them. And then ask yourself, where are the top 10 quarterbacks in the league? You know where they are? They're in the playoffs. Go look at the 14. I've already done this. Go look at the 14. Go look at those quarterbacks. And don't tell me what you think Justin Fields would do if he had X, Y, and Z. Tell me what Justin Fields is doing right now compared to those quarterbacks. And the top 10 are in the playoffs. And here, I'll just go, just because I love doing this kind of stuff, I'll go ahead and read you your Super Bowl winners for the last, I don't know, 10 years or so. Patrick Mahomes, first pick in the draft, or first round pick, excuse me. Matthew Stafford, first pick in the draft. Tom Brady before that, who we know is an anomaly, right? Patrick Mahomes, Peyton Manning, Russell Wilson, Eli Manning, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees. I mean, Do we got to do this? Why do we have to do this? This is silly. If I take the last 20 quarterbacks, there's a higher percentage of number one picks or players that are taken in the top five that are winning Super Bowls. And then if you were to go look at who they were playing, go look at their opponent, go look at the people who they lost to in the conference championship. These are all individuals that were taken high in the draft with quarterbacks. Can you find some scenarios where you get again, some outliers? Sure, we can all do that. But the fact of the matter is, there's a higher probability that you get to take a top 10 quarterback if you're picking at that space, and that's all I want. I want to be greedy. I want more. Let's go to Big Mac. Big Mac, no bun in the middle.
Hello.
What's up, man? Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call.
Do me a favor. Turn off your radio, though.
Okay.
I want to be able to hear you.
Yes. Okay. We talking about getting if we get the first round draft pick, which we have, getting another quarterback. But it ain't going to make no sense with another quarterback. Don't make no difference who the quarterback is if the offensive line can't give the quarterback a little protection. I ain't said that offensive line have to be perfect, but it ain't all about just the quarterback. The quarterback needs some help. Do you agree with that? Let me ask you this question. Do the Bears have a average offensive line? Answer that, please.
I would say a tick above average.
A tick above average.
Yeah.
So do you think that would take you to a tick above average can take you to the Super Bowl or get you into the playoff?
I would tell you. Hold on. Whoa. You got to let me answer the questions if you're going to ask them.
Right.
Hold on. Let me answer the question. Hold on.
Okay.
I'll tell you this. If with this team right now, with a tick above average offensive line, if there was a better quarterback playing, the Bears would be in the playoffs.
Brother, if I
Do you agree with that? Do you agree with that? Do you agree with that?
No, I don't.
You don't agree with that?
I mean, do you see that? Look, just take an eye test. Every time Fields get the
if Jordan
ball
Love
from
was
the center,
if Jordan Love was on this Bears
the,
team, if Jordan Love was on this Bears team, would they make the playoffs?
From the center, the defense is all
not,
over.
This is
so
not a conversation.
How can he pass?
All right, this isn't a conversation. I'll be honest and I'll be very clear. I love taking phone calls, especially on this overnight show, right? And especially because I love listening to people and I love hearing other people's opinions. But you can't ask three questions in a row. Don't let me answer. And then when I ask you a question, we don't listen, we don't answer, you talk over me like, now you're being, that's rude. So we can't have that on the phone, all right? Because then I'll just cut you off, and I cut nobody off. Let's go back out to the phones, though. It's Gabe Ramirez here on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Busey Bank, and it's not a game, Illinois.com. Taking your phone calls all the way till 5 o'clock, 312-644-6767. Dustin Rhodes taking over at 5 o'clock, Mullion Hall. You want to hear Olin Krutz and what he has to say about the Bears game? He's going to be on at 7. Oh, you want to hear from DJ Moore, what he thinks about the Chicago Bears and the situation that they're in? You could hear him talk at 8 a.m. Then Brad Biggs jumps on at 9. Bernstein and Holmes after that. They got Anthony Heron and Dan Weeder at 11 and 12. Parkins and Spiegel, they wrap up the whole thing. 2:40, they got Kurt Warner. Mark Grody jumps on at 4. And then Jalen Johnson jumps on with the fellas at 5 p.m. Must listen to radio. Set your alarms right now. In the meantime, I mean, the Bears down bad. This is not the way the Bears wanted to end their season. Not the Bears themselves, not the fan base, not the organization. And it puts us in this position where now we do have to talk about, and we can talk about, the future of the Chicago Bears organization, what they are going to do. And for that, we take calls. Let's go to Rod. Rod, I know you're a Packers fan.
Yes.
I know you're a Packers fan.
I am a Packer fan.
Tell me what you want the Bears to do in this situation.
I want the Bears to keep Justin Fields, draft a receiver, and do nothing with their offensive line. And that would make me, as a Packer fan, 100% thrilled.
Why?
And I don't think Justin Fields, and I've loved listening to this the argument. I just don't think, in watching him the last how many years, that he's a top-flight NFL quarterback. receiver help isn't what you guys need more. I think it's offensive line. The Packers' defense yesterday, I mean, you saved a coordinator's job who was going to get fired 2 weeks ago because they couldn't block. He was constantly under pressure. I just don't see him making the reads fast enough. That's one thing I love watching when they play Green Bay. Green Bay had a good controlled rush yesterday, but, you know, listening to the arguments back and forth, yeah, he's not the guy.
Rod, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this because I know I'm going to get – there's a bunch of people calling in right now, and I'm going to ask them if they'd rather have Justin Fields over Jordan Love, and all of them are going to say Justin Fields. What would you say in that? If I were to ask you, who would you prefer?
Well, this goes back to the – I'll answer your question. I would have Jordan Love, and this comes into an organizational thing. And this is why the Packers have beaten the Bears 10 times in a row, is because they drafted Jordan Love early. They did just like they did with Rodgers. They sat him. He learned the position. He learned the game. If Jordan Love would have been in the Bears system, he would not be where he is in year four because he wouldn't have had the opportunity to develop. So the Bears have to be willing to develop someone. Fields, if you put him in the Packers system and he would have been able to sit a year or two, would probably be doing exactly what Jordan Love is doing.
Yeah, I love that, Rod. Thanks for the call. And you bring up a great point. And it's actually not a great point, but a great reminder that an organization does matter. Where a quarterback lands does matter. And a lot of people that are championing for Justin Fields, I'm sure they agree with that sentiment. And they feel like, you know, the coaching staff, the organization, the talent around him is the reason for Justin Fields' lack of success. And I just want to be very clear. I think Justin Fields is good. I think he's good. Is Justin Fields good? Yes. The answer is yes. He is a 13 to 7, in my mind, a quarterback that ranks from 13 to 17. Right there. Not top 10, though. And the Bears have an opportunity. It's not a guaranteed one. I'm not sitting up here saying, like, oh, it doesn't matter who we take. It's going to be the guy. And, oh, yeah, clearly Rob just pointed out. And then he's going to the Bears. So there's less certainty there around that. But the chance exists. We talked about this earlier. 50% chance he busts. Yeah, but there's a 50% chance that he becomes a generational talent. And then you do draft him and you don't put the pressure on him from the beginning and you allow him to cook for a little bit. There's a lot of people that are upset about that statement, though. And we will take their phone calls and their thoughts on it because I want you to hear them. What is the argument that they are making for Justin Fields to continue to be the quarterback of the Chicago Bears? Do you agree with that statement? Or do you think the Bears should move on? 312-644-6767. We will take your calls after the break. It's Gabe Ramirez here on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Busey Bank and It's Not a Game, Illinois.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.